Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show with me, Tim Fuel, back with another weekly take on all things non-league and a little bit more besides in the current climate. I'm pleased to say that my weekly infusion of non-league know-how and knowledge is here in the form of a virtual Dave Anderson, who joins me via the power of the internet. Well, welcome, Dave.
Good afternoon, Tim. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And I trust all's well at the Anderson Mansions as well.
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. I've sort of doing the walk. I tried yoga about 2 weeks ago, I think I said. I did my back in. So I give that up. And I tried this on YouTube, a workout for over 50s, beginners over 50s. It should have said fat over 50 beginners in my case. So a 20-minute workout. I had to stop after 10 and I've done my back in again. So I'm having a nightmare. No more golf. No golf shots being hit in the garden this week, believe me.
Maybe your body's just, used to certain sorts of exercise. I think that's what it is. After a certain, you formed into a body shape and your muscles and your ligaments are built perfectly for the things you normally do. Doing something out of the ordinary can be dangerous.
Well, I absolutely agree with you, and I won't be doing it anymore. I like to do something before I get stuck into the Peroni. So I'm going to stick to my 6 mile walk. I think that'll have to do.
And I'm guessing, Peroni Dave's still able to get his Peroni. After being featured on this week, last week's show, I was a bit worried that there might be a run on the Peroni locally, and you wouldn't be able to get any.
Yeah, not so much as a free case from Peroni either for all the advertising. No, I've actually cut down this week. I've seriously, like many people I've spoken to, many of my mates have just said that they're drinking far more now that the pubs are shut than when they were ever open. So I've tried to calm it down a wee bit this week. So I've sort of gone for a glass of wine with my dinner and that's it. But I've got a quiz with the golf lads later, so I'll be having a few beers for that.
No, it seems a fairly common thing. I think it was a bit like doing your first marathon. Everybody set out in that first stage of lockdown to make sure that they were, full of alcohol if they so required. And everybody does seem to be cutting down now. And I'd imagine that all the alcohol brands were quite pleased that their numbers were probably going up, and they're probably going to get hit now by everybody fasting somewhat on the alcohol front. Now, I've been chatting elsewhere to various people the past week and talking about what they've been most looking forward to when this lockdown ends and whatever sort of normal that creates. And obviously football and watching football is going to be high up on the list for all of us there. But I've been trying to probe people a little bit more and get a bit more specifics. And somebody mentioned the smell of the grass. Now, obviously, with so much 3G around, that's not as common as it once was. And I don't know if it's the same where you are, Dave, but earlier today we had almost every season in one day, and the smell of the grass outside in my back garden invokes the standing at pitch side there. Those smells are around. But I came to the conclusion that I've been in lockdown with my wife and girls. Certainly male banter is somewhat missing, but it's also smells I miss, and I don't mean those smells that I'm sure you're probably trying to now get out of your mind, the smells of a sweaty male dressing room. I've been in many of those over the years. But I'm thinking, when I get out of this lockdown, I'm going to go and hunt out an old-fashioned clubhouse. One of those with that unique smell of beer soaked into the wood, into the carpet. I literally grew up on a touchline, and then on a Saturday evening, I was sat in the clubhouse with a bottle of Coke, a paper straw, and a bag of crisps. Those smells, to me, are bizarrely soothing. Is there anything that maybe you're looking forward to most once all this ends, Dave?
Well, the first thing I'd say is that the smell of grass where I live has got nothing to do with football pitch. At the moment, it seems to be rather fragrant in our area with people trying to relax. I desperately miss the social side. You know, I retired. I don't need to smell another dressing room. I've smelled about 2,000, I think, over the length of my career. But I do desperately miss socialising and sort of going to see teams play and in the relaxed mode that I was doing. And obviously for me on a personal level, you know, I've got a golf net in the back garden. To hit a golf shot on a golf course would be, and have a beer after that, that would be nice. But, you know, when we're talking about missing football, oddly enough, one of my old players, Dave Edwards, who, I'm going to say old, I'm going back like sort of 20 years ago, I'm going to say, at Harborough, Geordie, moved back up to the northeast. And I seen him actually when we played West Auckland. He came to the game and had a few beers with him after. It was great to catch up. But he sent me a text saying, you know, he was listening to the show and we were talking about teams recovering after this period of not having any money and the game being shut down. And he made a great point. He says, you know, look, the game shut down for 7 years during World War II. So it's come back from that. And if you look at a lot of the teams, Harborough being one of them, my local club, they were formed before the Second World War. So they went through that. So lots of teams will have done that and come back. So that, to be fair to him, he cheered me up a bit. I think I was getting a bit doom and gloom as to would we lose a lot of teams, Tim? But I forgot how tough these non-league clubs are.
When you're looking to be cheered up, Dave, the one thing that did pop into my mind earlier on in the week was that with the FA Vase and FA Trophy, there's still talk that maybe the finals for this season gone may still take place later on in the year if that can happen. I'm not sure whether that now makes you the longest running holding manager of the FA Vase, because I'm off the top of my head, and I'm sure, you know, there'll be someone out there that'll tell me that I'm wrong if I am. I'm not sure if a manager's won back-to-back FA Vases, in which case you would have held it for the longest period.
Yes, well, here's hoping. I mean, the one thing I would say is that, in as much as that, if it's cancelled this year, then I would effectively be the manager that holds the trophy for 2 years. I really don't want that. You know, when you get to the semi-finals where the guys are in the trophy and the Vase, you know, I think, you know, I understand where they are mentally and what they've gone through to get where they are. So I would love the FA to complete those two competitions, you know. But for me, more so than the FA Cup, to a degree, because it's been diluted down the FA Cup by how the Premier sides take it. But the FA Trophy and the FA Vase are massive. So I would love them to try and do that. And if they do it in June, that's fine by me, because then effectively I would have been the holder for over a year, and it could be a pub question. And that's and believe me, I am the master of quizzes. We're all geniuses on quizzes now, aren't we? Because everybody, you know, I'm doing it with the golf guys, and there's other people doing it with their workmates and, you know, their social mates. So we're all quiz experts, and I could end up being a quiz question. What more would you want?
Right, to watch you on one of these evening game shows that's on ITV or BBC, and your name pops up. I'm sure Twitter would go wild.
Yeah. But I'd want to know who'd be the sad guy that would actually, outside of me, that would know the answer to the question. But listen, I hope, and in all seriousness, the FA are sort of making noises that they're going to try their best to complete these two competitions, Tim. So I'm on their side with that, you know.
So still no football, and to be honest, not much sign of football either coming soon. So our next guest, as long as I've known him, he breathes, eats, drinks, sleeps. He does everything football, so I've no idea what he's been doing the past few weeks. But to find out more, let's welcome back to the Non-League Football Show manager at Wealdstone FC, Mr. Dean Brennan.
Cheers, Tim. Good to speak to you as always.
It's always a pleasure to have you on, Dean. First of all, is everybody fit and healthy in the Brennan household?
Yeah, everyone's grand, yeah. And I think that's the main thing. The main concern for everybody is that health as well, especially in this crazy world we're living in at this moment in time. So we're all good. We're all isolating. Things are very strange for everybody, you know, and even my own situation. I think I've watched every game on Scout 7 now. I think I've watched every player about 50 times. So it's just, and it's what we love, isn't it? We're missing the business. And because I hear a lot of people moaning about footballers and this, that, and the other, and it frustrates because we love the business, we love the game. And there's no problem talking about it and debating when it'll come back or how it'll come back. And I just think it's important that it's the game we love, and it's this country's national game. And the sooner we get back playing, the better.
Yeah, it's an important point, because I think there's lots of negativity around football now. I think where we've almost got bored with the sound of our own voices, but we've got time at the moment where we could be planning to make football even better than it is. And I think that's where people should be channeling their energies. And I know plenty of people behind the scenes at football clubs up and down the country are doing that. And we just need, as we always say on here, if you can volunteer and help your football club for an hour a week, how much better football would be. But also this negativity, if we could cut that out, it would be easier to move on once we are allowed to get back out there and start playing football.
I just think there's a lot of deflecting. I think the Premier League is a fantastic product, in total, fantastic business. The pyramid in England is brilliant. As simple as that. It's the best in the world for me. And there's a lot of deflecting. The politicians need to look at what they've done and the situation they've put us in. You know, we can get down that route. Why are we in lockdown? Was there not enough resources? Why is this disease hit shores or hit anywhere around the world? Have they done enough? You know, and they've got to look at themselves. There's just so much deflecting. I think football gives so much to this country, you know, and it gives so much to everybody all over Europe, all over the world, whether you're playing in Brazil or wherever. And I just think it's good to debate. It's great to talk about, and it's great to reminisce sometimes. I've watched a few of their games back from this season at Wealdstone, and we have some excellent performances, some really good football, and for a very young group, I think some of them might be very unlucky not to get moves into the Football League, but for a very young group, they perform really, really well, and probably because of the financial situation, what's going to hit us now in the coming years. Some of the lads are like 21, 22, I have 6 or 7 of them that probably would have got moves into the Football League if I've been totally honest on the performances they showed in the last 8 or 9 months.
Is it going to be? Go for it, Dave.
Yes, sorry. I think I just want to put. Dino, how are you? Nice to speak to you as
all
always.
Yeah.
How you? Because we were talking about this last week about trying to imagine what it's like to be a successful manager. And now we can ask you. You know, you're within touching distance of winning the league. You know, and I'm sure other people would say they had a chance, and I would say absolutely, but you were right up there. You'd been up there most of the year. You had a group of players really together, young as you say. I've been around it, you know, like Big T, the kit man, keeps calling me one of the staff nearly. I've been there that many times. But how have you been trying to keep the group together? What have you been doing as a group? Are you nervous of the fact that, you know, I'm asking you 3 or 4 questions, but I know you're capable of doing it. But are you nervous of how that will be?
The first things first, we've kept in contact with all the players. We've committed to all of them to give them deals for the next season, whenever that's going to happen. And via text message, that's what a lot of people do. One or two of the lads I've spoken to, like the skipper, a couple of senior players, that's Jerome Akimo, for people that don't know, Ross Lafayette, I've spoken to them verbally. So, yeah, mainly with the younger lads, by text message. But I'm proud of our football club this year. You know, we haven't overspent. We haven't gone crazy. I think our football club, our supporters, the finances our supporters bring in is enough for us to, you know, not be in trouble. So we're in no stronger or weaker place when we do come back playing, because it's all about our core supporters. And we were averaging just over 1,000 this season. So for us as a football club, financially, we're okay. We haven't spent nowhere near above we've spent sensibly. And then from a point of view of basically, you know, I think the frustrating thing for everybody, we played Chippenham that weekend. That frustrated me. I'm from Ireland, from Dublin. Obviously, my family lived there. And I knew they were in lockdown nearly 2 weeks before us. And I knew this was coming. And us to be to play that weekend, that frustrated me. It didn't feel like a game. We played Chippenham away and it just didn't feel like, it didn't feel right. It was really somber, it was really strange. And it was the strangest game I've actually ever participated in as a player and as a manager. That was strange. And I think there's nothing we can do about it. Whether we get promoted with points per game, there's nothing we can do physically about it. So I'm not too bothered. And I think we would have lasted the pace. There's no doubt about it. We were actually looking forward to the running, to be totally honest. You know, we worked for 10 months to get in the position we are. And we've been top since, I think, the 17th or 18th of August. We had a game in hand. I can reveal now, we made a pledge to each other as a group. Myself as a manager set the pledge. The players were happy with it, that we achievement was to reach 90 points. So we had another 20 to go out of 27. We're on 70 points. So if someone got over 90 points, we'd be the force. Like, if Havant were the ones who are always going to chase us, they'd probably be the biggest resources, the strongest experienced squad, experienced management team, a very good one at that. So we knew they were always going to come back and win five or six on the bounce. And to me, once we got 90 points, I think we would have won the title. And that was sort of our aim all along. But we'll see what happens in the coming weeks, Dave. It's so strange. It really is a strange situation. But, you know, when football will come back, personally, my beliefs on it is that it should be completed. Wealdstone Football Club should be given the opportunity, whether it's with the current group of players or not, to finish the last 9 games. And the same for Havant and Waterlooville, the same for Hungerford, who are in our division fighting relegation, same for Braintree and whoever else at Albans. We shouldn't be thinking about the next season until we've completed this one. Whenever the next season will happen, it will happen. So for me, this one should be completed. And it might be December when we complete it. It gets completed in December. It's ridiculous just to throw it all out the window. That's my personal opinion, but it's different. Everyone thinks null and void. It's crazy. How can you null and void? It's like getting your missus pregnant and then saying it's null and void 8 months in. Huh? That ain't going to happen, is it?
There's a few people might fancy that one, Dale. I absolutely get where you're coming from. I mean, it's obvious why you want it to complete, because you're in a chance of winning the title. But I just think as something that's been, you know, what was the quiz show? I've started, so I'll finish. You know, Mastermind. You know, that would be. It'll be very, very frustrating for a lot of people that it isn't going to be completed. And I also understand that if you're in the middle block of, so you're not going to be playoffs, you're not going to be relegated, they would be the biggest part of the teams. It's nearly easier for them to go on a vote and say, yes, scrap it, because we were out of ring. But they're also deemed, it's a terrible place for everyone to be. And I've said week on week here, I don't really have the answer to it. I understand where you're coming from with it. I would desperately love everything to be finished for you and for other people who are in and around to win stuff. But I just can't see how they would ever agree to it, or how it will ever happen, mate, you know?
I probably agree with you. Personally, I think it will become null and void. I think that's how the vote will go within the National League system. But I think that's crazy, personally. I really think it should be completed, whenever that may be. If it's with different players, a different manager. The football club at Wealdstone will always be there. The football club at Hemel, when I manage there, Billericay, it'll always be there. You at AFC Wimbledon, that will always be there. So they have them supporters that have been there. We have supporters that have been there, you know. People in the 70s, you've been there, Dave. You've got quite a good older age support, you know, as well as we've got a younger age. But they've been there years. They might never see this again. You know, they need to be given that opportunity. Football's about, and that's what, there's nothing really frustrating. Football's about supporters. So I'm a supporter, right, Dave? I buy a season ticket for Wealdstone. I haven't had my full season. I want a refund.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to help the supporters? I want a refund. I've still got four or five games to go. I've actually got five games to go. I want me refund for me five games then, for me season ticket.
I don't even think that. I think when you put it like that, that you know, people of Wilson, the Wilson supporters, mightn't get the chance to watch their team, well, win the league or effectively, you know, be close to winning the league. You know, that doesn't come around every day. And I can, you know, when I look back at my own experience last season of when we won the league, and it's the first time Churchy had won a league in their history of senior league. And, you know, so proud that I could deliver that. And for that to be stopped with five or six games to go like this has for you this year. And other teams in every level. And even the fact of Churchy itself, Kev McLaren, had got the team where they're up and in around the playoffs and wants to desperately achieve that because that gives them a chance of back-to-back promotions. So that's just a couple of examples. There's other teams who are relegated and thinking they're lucky stars that they get another chance. But it's all very, you know, I absolutely get your point that it needs to be finished. I just don't see how it will be or I just don't think it will be. But I also,
but it's when it will be, though. When,
yes,
it will,
yes,
be is the thing.
Exactly. You know,
when will the new season start? Will that start in 12 months' time?
Yeah, that's another debate that I've started seeing this week, certainly. You know, if we're on lockdown longer and the season can't start until maybe, I think there was even debate that it couldn't start until the new year. You know, you couldn't get a full season in then. So then are you just playing cup games? Are you playing friendlies? How does that leave the world of football and contracts? We're hearing a lot about the Premier League and the contracts that they're involved in, and that's obviously why they're so desperate to get back out there as well. And despite everybody probably watching more Disney than they ever have in their life, the real world isn't like Disney, is it? And each one of these has got so many problems. Whatever decision you reach has got so many problems at the end of it.
Yeah, I think another major issue as well, to go on top of that, Tim, is what's very important is non-league clubs especially, they need that revenue. They need that bar revenue. You know, it's used in the daytime. It's used for different, you know, whether it's, you know, whether they're doing yoga or samba or whatever they're doing, dancing, you know, loads, they need that. And realistically, the way things are going, you cannot really this year see a football match being played this year at our level. So what, do you write off next season? Do you write off the 2021 season? Or do you just come back and complete the season? And then, you know, and do we restructure? Do we play a summer league because we're lower down? But does that have to tie in then with League One and League Two? There is a lot of different questions. There's so many different questions, but, you know, it'll be governed by the fantastic government that have put us in this position, that haven't given the resources to stop these kind of diseases, you know, and that's really what's happened. Let's be honest, you know. It's the governments. All right, we vote them in. Yes, that's true. The government's all over the world, but why is South Korea and people like places like that done so well, and Sweden done so, not so well out of this, but, you know, they've got they've got very good, a much better success rate than a big, powerful place like Great Britain. It's, you know, I'm getting on the politics. I don't think the football really. So sorry, lad.
Dino, all I'd say is I'm just making a note of the first time we get a beer, because I'm going to have a proper debate with you about this, as we do, man. I was just thinking as well that I switched the TV off. I was sitting watching the snooker classics. Tim, just before you got in touch with us to do the show, and talking about nights out with Dean, and the commentator was Ken Doherty, who's obviously an ex-world champion himself. And believe me, he was sounding a lot more coherent than the last time me and Dean seen him, which was in a bar in Northwood not so long ago. Dino, good night, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know whether that was the Dorking game at home or was that the Bath game at home. Yeah, we went and met up with Ken after. He was over playing a tournament. Really nice guy. He's good friends with one of our board members. Obviously, he's from the same neck of the woods as myself. And Dave came from just north of the border. We had a good conversation, something to eat, made a few drinks. Really good company. And nice to meet somebody like that, that, you know, as a kid you would have looked up to playing on the telly and winning the World Championship. But we had a good evening, really good evening, good day.
Yeah, he's a good lad, and listen, Timmy, you're worried of not, we're not going to do politics on the show because it's not a political show, but if you're worried about me and Dino debating the virus, you should hear us debate other stuff.
Anyway, I think that's a definite revisit for the gaffer tapes, that one.
I digress. But just go back to your own situation, Dean, as a manager. And have you, I mean, some of the managers I've spoken to have sort of had Zoom fitness guys, because fitness classes, you know, there's Zoom stuff and sort of being in touch. How have you dealt with that stuff? Or have you just let that go to the players?
No, I've just let it go to the players. You know, so you sort of look at what happened in Wuhan. I think they were in lockdown for whatever amount of days, 90-odd days, I think it was. And it's going to happen the same here, isn't it? At least that.
Yeah.
There's no point. Let the lads just tick over. You can only look at some of the other cases that have happened. So I'm not sure the exact lockdown. Was it 3 months? I think it was 3 months. And anyway, so we've just sort of said to the players, go and chill, go and relax, and we'll just do a mini pre-season whenever we come back. Hopefully, we're hoping to come back and play, you know, the final 9 games.
What is your knowledge of where the league is on that decision?
I'll be honest, Dave, I haven't even looked at it. I swear in the gospel, I haven't looked at it. There's no point. You drive yourself crazy thinking you're going up, you're going down. I haven't looked at it. It's out of our hands, and if I can't affect it, or if football club can't affect it, you know, there's nothing we can do about it, or whatever they decide to do, It's obviously, I've seen it's going to a vote, but, you know, I just braced through it, really, and I don't really think about it. There's no point in thinking about it, because if you did, it'll just, in my mind, whatever happens, we'll come back stronger, or we'll kick on stronger. You know, I think we're going to be in a great position as a football club, because we haven't overspent. Some of the money spent at our levels is crazy, and that's just not going to be there. And there's going to be more players than ever this summer falling out of the net, more players than ever. So I think non-league will become stronger in the sense of the quality of player for less money. And it'll be more sensible. It'll just be more sensible, the finances. And, you know, anyone that can get a long-term contract in non-league is going to do very well, whether it's the National League or National League North or South. So that's my beliefs on it. I think there'll be a lot of very good players available.
Yeah, wise words, son.
Yeah, you mentioned early on about watching all the scouting videos. Now, that's something that that's a massive part of your success, been knowing players at every level. And normally you get out, you watch games. You're saying you've watched all the videos at the moment. I guess some of those players aren't going to be the same players, though, in a couple of months' time that you've just watched on the video.
But the thing is, for them players, though, you'll be saying to them, come in and train with us, you know, because no one's going to give out any long-term contracts. You know, you'll do well to get a year's contract at our level, you know. So, and then obviously some players will be on you. You'd know their personalities already, because we would have been in contact with them, you know. And we'll just do a real tour to check on the player. If the player comes back fit, if he fits into your environment. If you miss out on the player, another player come along. So realistically, it is a buyer's market. It's the football clubs are going to become more powerful if they have run their football clubs correctly financially and run their business correctly, because you won't be going bust. That's first and foremost. Mm. And some clubs, like you say, they might have gone all out to get promotion this year. They just run out of money. It's as simple as that. And they could have been all out to stay up, or whatever, for whatever reason they've spent a lot of money. That just won't be there anymore. So I really think if you've run a good business, a good football business model, I think you'd be in a brilliant position when this all calms down.
Yeah, and I'm all about creating opportunities from adversity and that sort of thing. And a club like Wealdstone, who again I know very well, and some of those people you mentioned in their 70s, I count amongst my friends. So I know how much this season's meant to them, but when you're saying that some clubs are in a much more difficult position, overspending or are not as solid as a club, that includes clubs up in the Football League as well. So there is opportunity here for non-league clubs that are well-grounded and well-founded to step up over the next couple of years and make that move into the Football League, because they'll be better placed to be successful on a longer term.
You listen, before Dean, before you answer that, I want to add to that. Because There's also changes in the Football League. I forgot about this. I just came up. Because all of a sudden, the Luton manager's there, didn't he?
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yep. Well, I think the guy at Luton's left. And, you know, you have a big association with that club as well, Dino Luton. So
there's
possibilities, not just for football clubs, but for managers. And I'm using this as an example, because if I'm at Luton and I'm looking at the job you're doing, I'm thinking, is he ready to step into this? You know, and I don't want to get barred from Wilston, so I'm just for coming up with this. But there will be movement, both where Tim's point is, where teams have looked after themselves and are stronger to move forward. But there will be big change as well, I think, in management.
Yeah, definitely. I think the two great examples of non-league managers doing really well in recent years is obviously the two Cowley brothers. They've done fantastic. But what they did really well, I think it's well documented, they could have went to Tranmere, had a bigger budget when they left Braintree. They've done all sort of, you know what I mean? They've done all the groundwork, all that graft. They went to Lincoln, found good stability in the chairman there, you know, good stable football club, and they put it on the right foot, on the right path, and look what they've done. And the other one is Tufty. You know, Tufty at Sheffield United. You know, we forget he was at Halifax when they were in administration and stuff like that. You know, he had a nightmare time at Halifax. Eventually gets an opportunity, he goes to Oxford, you know, he goes to Northampton, he's at Sheffield United. And he's revolutionising the game, isn't he? He's centre-halves overlapping his wing-backs. You know, so they're good examples of it. Listen, we all dream of that, but you need breaks. And could this be Stu and I's break? Could we get up this year, you know, as a stable football club and do well in the next division? You know, anything can happen within this business. I'm hearing a lot of some football clubs who have spent the league above going from full-time to part-time. This is a lot that I'm hearing as well, the little bits I've heard. So there's a lot of different clubs going different ways and going different angles. And it would be interesting to see how it all pans out. But you know what it's like this business, Dave? You're only leading two or three games away from the sack. So And it can change so quickly. So you can never get a position, but you can always dream. And my dream is to manage as high as I can. And hopefully we can take a club like Wealdstone as far as we can as well. You know, we really enjoyed our time. I want to just give a special mention to the supporters, because a lot of people are going to me on a force tucket, you're mad, they're crazy, they're this, they're that. But I found them passionate, and that's what I always found. And if you can get passion and togetherness going in the right direction, that can bring success, especially when you've got a young group of players, which we put together, that have worked so hard for the football club, for each other, for themselves, for their families. And that was sort of our motto all along. Go work hard, first and foremost, collectively for yourself, your family and the football club, and then express yourself, then show us what you can do. And that's how we sort of did it, really. You know, and we've gone from, I think we were 23-1 to sort of, you know, to win the title. And we put ourselves in an unbelievable position in the bit where we all wanted to really look forward to. And we were going into the running in great form. I think we'd only conceded 3 or 4 goals in the last 9 games. And we were playing really well. I was really happy with our performance levels. It's just a pity we don't get to run it through.
Well, shame.
We don't know where we're going to run to or where we're going to end up. But what we do know is that it's always a pleasure to have you on the Non-League Football Show, Dean. I'll let you go off and probably study some more videos knowing the way that you're working at the moment. But look after yourself and hope to speak to you again soon.
Yes, thanks.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Time once again then to head on over to the virtual Non-League Paper Towers and a welcome back to the Non-League Show with senior writer at the Non-League Paper, David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Tim. Hope you're well.
I'm well. The paper's well. It's always a good reason to get up on Sunday morning. It also helps me know that it is still Sunday morning to get up for, which is a good thing. In the world of non-league, it's been a rather a very slow week, even compared to recent weeks news-wise. And there's been a few movements in the managerial game. I guess that's been the main news. I guess the biggest surprise, Mike Ford and Banbury aren't renewing their relationship for the coming season. And this might be one of many managers making this move in the current climate, because we know that there are going to be clubs maybe slashing budgets and just changing the focus of where they're heading in the season when it may get underway.
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise seeing that one this week. I spoke to Mike a few weeks ago, actually, for a piece for the paper, sort of talking about his time at Banbury. He's been there since 2015. He was talking really enthusiastically about sort of the things they've done over the years. They're obviously winning promotion back into Step 3 and then enjoying a good few seasons at that level. But yeah, obviously he's moved on now. Speaking to him again for a piece in Sunday's paper, he was saying it was actually an issue between him and the club regarding his fiancée, who's part of the coaching staff at Banbury, and the club, he says, wanted her to be removed from the coaching staff from next season, which he didn't agree with, and he tendered his resignation from that. He spoke about how the budget had been reduced. He understood the financial situation at the club and was happy with that. You know, there was no issue there, but obviously that one that they had there with his partner being involved was sort of is the main reason really behind it. So a bit of a strange one. I'm still waiting to hear from Banbury regarding that. But yeah, an odd sort of managerial departure. But Banbury's loss, I'm sure, will be someone else's game at some point, because you know, I think Mike Ford's record speaks for itself, really, what he's done at Banbury, and of course when he was at Oxford City as well, where he won promotion as well.
Yeah, that's certainly a great CV to be, waving around. I don't think he'll need to be waving around, because people already know his reputation. But Banbury as well, a very good club, well supported, and you know, community minded. So again, it, you know, sometimes, you know, when a manager's been there for a while as well, a change can be a good thing as well. So I'm sure there'll be plenty of people throwing their CVs in at Banbury as well. And another departure, Ian Herring, in similar situation at Hungerford Town. They're obviously bottom of National South come the end of the season there. And I think, again, a difference in point of view, really.
Yeah, that's right. Perhaps maybe less of a surprise in a way. Hungerford have had their financial problems this season after the change of chairman and direction at the club. They've been a side that struggled in the last few years in National League South, punching above their weight, obviously, when Bobby Wilkinson moving through the leagues. But yeah, like I said, perhaps not a surprise. Ian Herring's moved on, constantly batting against the odds. From what I understand, Ian Herring's plan for next season was to effectively work without a paying budget, not paying players, but instead investing the money in an infrastructure behind the scenes with coaches and strength and conditioning for coaches, physios, that sort of type of thing. But the club didn't really agree with that idea, and so they've decided to go their separate ways. Ian Herring, I think, has done a great job there. He's very sort of open and honest, but he really sort of cares about his players. I get that feeling as well. I look forward to seeing where he turns up, because it's another good manager, I think, that's out there now and available.
Yeah, changing direction. The proposal sounds maybe a little bit off the wall of the way non-leagues work, but you can see where he and Herring maybe potentially coming from, because I think football's going to be in a very different place when we do get the next season underway.
Yeah, I think so. I think the Hungerford board had already reduced the budget ahead of next season. I think Ian Herring already knew about that. I think maybe they just felt at step two in National League South, obviously they're not going to be relegated, or at least we never knew if they were going to be, if Ian Herring managed to keep them up again. But I think maybe they just felt for that level, if you're not paying your players anything, or even expenses, then maybe it might be a bit difficult to keep hold of players throughout a season. and maybe lacked a little bit of stability. So that's the decision they've made. You know, it'll be a difficult job, I guess, for anyone going in there with the budget that they've got. But nonetheless, it's a well-established club. It's a National League South club, and it will be an attractive one for some managers.
It will be an attractive one for some managers. I mentioned there that the National League South. We had Dean Brennan on earlier on discussing the Wealdstone position, and he was still under the pressure that they could be playing the rest of their season. I think that the decision from the league is that the season's finished. How it now gets finished and organised is still to be decided. And one thing I didn't really get to say to Dean, but you know, maybe get your thoughts on that, is this could be a status of limbo for a considerable time, couldn't it? Because I think everything really rests on the decisions coming from higher up before the National League are likely to make their decision on how their season pans out.
Yes, that's right. Obviously, at the moment, the National League are gauging the views of clubs in terms of whether to play the playoffs or not. I think on Friday or tomorrow or the day this goes out will be the sort of deadline for clubs to submit their opinions. And then next week, the National League will meet to discuss what they've heard and to progress with making the decision towards whether to play the playoffs or not. Now, obviously, in the background to all of this, discussions remain ongoing in the Football League and above as to what they're going to do. As we've spoken about, as I said, they're obviously the fate of the National League, really, in a way, is in the EFL's hands. As much as if there's no relegation from League Two, then it's difficult to see how there would be promotion from the National League. Of course, there is the prospect of filling the place of Bury, but that's another scenario of many. So we have to still wait and see, really, as to what the Football League are doing. I mean, I think May 7th is the sort of one of the key dates coming up as to perhaps the next stage of things once the government announces their next move on the lockdown, and we'll go from there. There were some things coming out today about EFL meetings and needing 66,000 tests to be able to put these games on. But to be honest, I think it's ridiculous, really, when we're talking about those things and the government target of 100,000 has fallen way short of that at the moment.
Yeah, and that's the wonders of social media are fantastic, because it's kept us all, you know, buzzing and keeping us all in contact with one another. But there's also a lack of official stuff coming through at the moment, and things can snowball very quickly, can't they? That are just opinions, or, you know, even people, sometimes it's just people being, thinking they're clever and coming up with an idea. And some of the things that I've been seeing about, you know, if the Premier League can get back underway, that players are going to be tested before the games to prove that they haven't got a virus. And knowing, you know, science is a wonderful thing, but it's not an instant thing normally in that situation. And I think the practicalities are going to override everything, like football getting back underway very quickly. And it's just really, at non-league level, we need some decisions from higher up to be able to make our decisions down at this level. And, you know, I've also seen suggestions that non-league should be the first level to get back underway.
Yeah, I think you're right about the practicalities of it all. I think testing people is fine. You can be tested today and find out you don't have coronavirus, but then that doesn't mean that tomorrow you won't pick it up. And I quite understand the plan of testing everyone, playing games, and then, you know, going back to your homes, a player goes down to Tesco or goes down to a shop or something and accidentally manages to pick it up, and then, you know, suddenly you've then got a problem. I mean, are they going to be tested before every game, before every training session, before every time they're in some sort of competitive
environment. There's a lot of questions to be answered. I think also you've got to consider as well, first and foremost, that the people on the front line, the people in the NHS and key workers are the people being tested regularly for this. I think it's a situation where football could come out of this very, very poorly if they don't go about things the right way. And for me, I don't think it's disrespectful to be talking about football coming back and trying to plan, but I don't think it should get in the way of the bigger picture of sorting things out.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with that. It's an essential part of our lives, but it's not key working. However you'd like to see it. Going back to the managerial front, obviously I see Russ Perrin's been given the Kidderminster job permanently. I saw two seasons mentioned in an announcement, which is nice. He's now been given that certainty that he can move ahead. And there's a new man in at Durham City with quite a big Twitter following for sure.
Yeah, that's right. Good to see Russ Penn in at Kidderminster. Obviously, he's been there for a little while now. He's a player there. As I say, he's been the assistant manager for a while. He steps up to that caretaker position quite regularly. I think, like you say, with the 2 year or the two seasons, I think it is what Kidderminster need, really, a little bit of stability. The club that has fallen by the wayside in recent years, they've been going through managers pretty quickly, and I think that's what they need there now. And, we know Russ quite well from his column in the non-league paper, and we wish him well in the role there. And as for the appointment at Dunsfield, with Didier Gaff, of course, you'll remember from Celtic and Aston Villa. So a very exciting winger, and it's really interesting appointment there for Durham City. And like I say, it's generated a lot of traction on Twitter, and we'll look forward as well to see how he gets on there.
Yeah, and obviously plenty. I said it's a slow week, but there's never enough space, really, in the non-league paper every Sunday to get all your columnists and everybody in. Now, what else can we expect to read about in this week's paper?
Yeah, so it's another packed issue, 32 pages again. There's a nice little story, actually, not a main piece, but a nice little line about Woking and releasing their new shirts, but giving supporters the opportunities to have their names actually embedded in to the fabric for as little as £25 or even up to £2,500. There's different packages for all fans, really, in terms of hospitality tickets, signed shirts by players, management, etc., which is quite a nice little story and a unique idea that we maybe hadn't seen before in football. We've also got a nice piece of George Boyd, from playing in the Premier League. Of course, he started out in non-league. He's got a good story about Steve Watson as well, about a time when he was in training at Stevenage. And there's plenty more in there as well this weekend.
Well, we look forward to reading it on Sunday. Digital subscriptions available as well if you can't pick up your paper copy. But thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, David, and look after yourself.
Brilliant. Cheers, Tim.
So that's it for this week. Thank you to Dave Anderson for joining me.
It was a pleasure, mate. Absolute pleasure.
Yeah, always good to keep the thing ticking along. Thanks to our guest Dean Brennan. A big thank you to everybody that listens.
Sorry, Tim, I was just going to say to everyone, hang in there and stay safe,
That's the idea. It sounds like your motto when you were manager at Harrow Borough. But
safe's not a word I would use there.
Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season, join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Dave Anderson's at Dave Anderson 78, Caroline Barker at Caroline Barker, myself at Tim Fuel. Plus, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, via smart speakers, on every good podcast aggregation site you can find us. Take a look there too. for the non-league gaffer tapes as well, which will be coming back as soon as we can. Stay safe, stay home, and thank you and goodbye.
Jabber Production. JIBBAJABBA.
Telluretic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, rechalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.